Bibles to the law of the Lord, which we read from Exodus 20. God's law came to the people of Israel, as he says in chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. So this is in the context of God having delivered his people out of Egypt and having them to be a special people for himself. So in that light, we read from Exodus 21 through 17. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. These are the Ten Commandments. We thank the Lord for them. Now we turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23. Last time we considered authority as it pertained to the care of the poor and not abusing the poor and helpless. And this morning we consider authority in the home and how it pertains to a godly home. So we read at this time 1 through 25. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meat. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among wine-bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. Just a few announcements. The first is that, Lord willing, next week Pastor Rock will be serving us and bringing God's word. I will be in St. Thomas at the Free Reformed Church there. Secondly, there is a note in the bulletin about the Dennis Boris presentation, but I thought I'd highlight that again at the Markham NRC for tomorrow night. So if you're able to make it, that would be good. And then at a recent presentation given by Reverend Verguntz on various forms of abuse upon children and protecting them from it, he made available a resource, a packet of different insights and different tips and different bits of wisdom about it. If you're interested in that, we can either send it to you via email, or we can print one off for you should you want that. It's about a 25-page document. Very helpful, very good stuff from Reverend Verguntz, an NRC minister. So please feel free to contact me, send me an email, or let me know this morning if you'd like to see that. You're welcome to it. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Let's all pray. O Lord in heaven, God Almighty, the one who is glorious in every way, Lord, thou art perfect, the very epitome of perfection, the measure of it. For our greatest experiences, our greatest things, greatest people in this earth, all the highest, are but nothing as before thee. Thou art God, and there is none else. Thou art the Creator, and there is none else. Even as we may receive this beautiful day and we may have the sun brilliantly shining, we are reminded of the God who dwells in light, whose very presence is the purity of light. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In thy light, Lord, we shall see light. And thou art also wise in thy dealings in our lives and in this world. Lord, none can say to thee, what doest thou? Will the clay pot say to the potter, why hast thou made me thus? Will the ant say to the maker, what art thou doing? Shall we who are worms of the dust and sinners with darkened minds curiously pry into things that are too great for us? The secret things belong unto the Lord, but the revealed things to us and to our children. Grant that we would be satisfied in having the word of truth, the scriptures, for our guide. And that we would leave with thee the things that we could never understand. Why certain difficult things have happened. Why we're undergoing something even now. Oh, that we would take rest in the knowledge that the Father in heaven has ordered all things. Lord, thy perfection also is clear in the way of salvation, that there is no spot in it, but it's the pure way, the right way, the blessed way, and that there has nothing been done in thy plan of salvation that has been in the least degree wrong or insufficient. It is all finished. And therefore, in the churches and around the world, the sound, the glorious gospel trumpet can sound forth that there is redemption with the Lord, plenteous redemption. And grant that we here this morning would be able to be partakers of it, that for our kinsmen and redeemer's sake, the greater Boaz, even Jesus Christ, that there are those who can go free, trusting in him, living for him with our lives, whoever we are, however old or young we may be, whatever we have done or not done. Oh, what a message that for the most vile sinner, as well as for a self-righteous sinner, and for all sinners in between, that if we confess our sin, that thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask for this morning that personal sense, that personal encounter with thee, that thou, Lord, would meet here with us, that as we have sung, this would be thy dwelling place, thy abode, thy home, and that we would see Jesus, that we would believe on him who bore the sins of his people, even to Calvary, and who was laid in the grave, but who rose triumphantly and reigns as victor today. Lord, gladden our hearts with thy salvation. Let us walk as sons of God and daughters of the Most High, shining as lights in this world, holding forth the word of life in a dying place. Lord, forgive us our sins. We have come short in many, many ways. We are guilty of not doing what we should have done. Our sins of omission are more than enough to cast us into judgment. We have done, Lord, things that ought not to have done. Our sins of commission are worthy of infinite judgment as well. Lord, bring us to that point of absolute desperation for thy mercy, to that point where we see that we are worthy of thy eternal wrath without any lessening, without any compromise. But we pray as well for that cleansing, that more than adequate cleansing, that Christ died for sinners, of whom I am chief. That in the Father's house there is a banqueting table. The banner over his people is love. We thank you for the blood of the new covenant, the blood that speaks of better things than that of Abel's, the blood of the righteous one, who gave himself as a ransom for many. And never let us be content in our ways of sin. Drive us from out of the hiding places, from out of the bushes, where we can seek privacy and we can seek to be by ourselves and we can seek to hide. Oh God, bring us open, bring us bare, and be thou the one who clothes us with the righteousness even of thy Son. We thank thee for thy hand in our lives as the congregation upholding us through the week that is past. Lord, for some of our families thou hast laid heavy afflictions, burdens to be carried. And we ask thee to grant also that with thy Spirit's blessing, that these things would be sanctified, that these things would be made to our benefit now and into the future. We pray that thou continue to heal Carista. We thank thee that her tonsils can be removed and she can be getting better bit by bit. Lord, thou art good. Please strengthen her in an ongoing way. Please also be with Joan, with her shoulder pain, the fluid that is in her shoulder and the appointment she has. Oh God, provide relief if it is according to thy will. And most of all, sanctify this to her well-being, now and into the future. Grant also to others in her family who are experiencing pain and various physical struggles, that thou supply for them as well, that they would look to thee, O Lord, and lean hard on thee. Our God, we pray too that thou wilt bless others who were stricken with the flu or with other sicknesses. We thank thee for bringing them through it. And we ask thee to remind us all of our frailty, how small we are, that such viruses and such germs can lay us so low, that who are we in all of our might and all of our strength to be confined to our beds? And yet thou art good to give us medications, to give us doctors and health care, to give us various tests we can go through, and especially to give us bodies that can fight sickness in its many forms. Lord, please lead those who are facing important decisions. Guide them in the right way, the path they must go. Give job openings where they are needed. Grant that we would follow thee with a quiet spirit. Be with those who have ongoing aches and pains, especially among the older ones whose bones and muscles are growing more weak. Oh Lord, please help through it all, that these things would be the pointers to the grace which is sufficient, which Christ has promised to his people. Thank thee, O gracious God, for the many means we can use today. services for instructional times. Bless the catechism classes, grant learning, grant a heart that desires to teach well from my side and to learn well. Grant our families to be places where holiness, where piety is truly promoted. We ask as well for the Dennis Boris presentation tomorrow. Bless that brother. Use come over and help and use him for the good of the church in Eastern Europe. Be with the Bible study on Tuesday. Bless that time for all of our benefit who go. And grant to consistory as well wisdom that as we sift through the synod material and prepare also for a congregational meeting next month, that thou, Lord, would please lead us. Grant that the way would be made clear. Lord, please forgive our sins. Bless the gifts we may give. Bless our fellowship this day. Keep Satan, the evil one, the adversary, out of here from doing what he loves to do, plucking up the seed of the word when it comes down. Lord, give that the seed would be found in good soil, watered and nurtured by thee to bring forth fruit abundantly. We thank thee for each other. Help us to care for and love each other. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation, there is little that is more demanding than family life. You can think upon the demands of made upon parents. I've had it said to me that there's nothing so difficult and which also there's so little instruction provided as parenting. There's no ready manuals that have all the answers for all the issues that we will face in our families and in our homes. There's no anticipation of the various characters that we have in our houses, not just among the children, but also among the parents and the various bonds, whether strong or weak, that exist. And also for children, that the world is growing as they grow and they can see and they can hear and they can speak. And there's always influences. There's always phenomena that are impacting the dear hearts and minds of our children. They are far from perfect as parents are far from perfect. And their hearts are drawn after things that are not good for them, that are not pleasing to God. So it is very demanding. Family life, close relationships. And it can be a source of incredible pain. Our loved ones know how to hurt us, most subtly perhaps, but most effectively. Knowing our triggers, knowing what would make us upset, knowing how to get under a sibling's skin. Using our close bonds to inflict pain that our friends and co-workers would never know is there. Spouses understand exactly how to get at their spouse. Know how to make that argument continue and continue and try to serve their own selfish purpose. closed minds can be used for tremendous hurt. Every single one of us have scars. Every single one of us have wounds. Maybe we currently have them from it. But we also can say by the grace of God that homes have been places of blessing. It's not all bad. It's not all sadness and fighting and upheaval. You've seen splendid performances of children. We can smile and you can take heart. You've seen those times when perhaps you were expecting a fight to develop, that by God's grace they were able to see what was happening and say sorry and make things right. The praise goes to God, not to us. Children, you've seen maybe when you were expecting your father or your mother to fly off the handle, that God had restrained them. And you were able to actually have a fruitful conversation, a nurturing time together. Homes. Such a place of trouble, but also such a place of blessing. We need to be especially seeking the Lord's blessing upon our families, upon our close relationships. For without God's blessing, without God's presence, what really are our homes? So we're looking at the fifth commandment, this time in relationship to the home. And our text words are found in Proverbs 23, 22 through 25. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. That the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And we're not expositing the Lord's Day, Lord's Day 39. Question 104. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. So this morning, I declare to you from God's word, the rules for a godly home, directions from the book of Proverbs to help shed light on our lives as families. Rules for the godly home. Firstly, uphold the covenant. Secondly, embrace promised salvation. And thirdly, share spiritual joy. This won't make everything easy and everything perfect in our homes, but it will give us an important perspective, a map for how to live as family units. And if you're single, this also can serve as a guide for your current family units, but also, should the Lord bless you, for the establishment of families in His time. And if you're older, let these rules also be applied in your marriage with your children and grandchildren as well. So, rules for the godly home. uphold the covenant, embrace promised salvation, and share spiritual joy. First of all, uphold the covenant. Who chose to be in the families where they are placed? No one. We don't get to pick our parents, and parents don't get to make their children exactly as they would like them to be. The sovereign God has placed us where He wants us. And this is His prerogative. This is His right. He alone can do this. And it's our responsibility to live faithfully where He has put us. To appreciate the ties and the bonds that He has established for us. It's not an option to come or go. It's not a choice. I don't care for my parents, I'm out of here. Or get out, children. This is no place for you. We need to uphold the covenant. And what I mean by covenant is though that responsibility toward God and towards each other to live in our families in the understanding that God is sovereign. Verse 22 says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." And there we see some of the ways in which we are to dwell together in a faithful way in the understanding that God has put us where we are. Notice, first of all, the word hearken and despise not. That word there, hear, listen, brings us all the way back to that fundamental duty that God pressed upon His people Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel. Hearken, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. One of the first obligations of the covenant people of God was to listen, was to hear, was to let the words not just come into the ear canals, but let the words come into their very minds and into their hearts. Duly consider. And so this command is to listen. Listen to your father. Listen to your Father, whom God Almighty, Jehovah, has put as authority, as head. So the command, the calling, is just like it was in Deuteronomy 6, hear. Hear for the purpose of benefit, for the purpose of blessing, for the purpose of guidance. And when you are hearkening, when you are listening to your Father, let it be as though you're listening to the Lord. That's a main principle of the fifth commandment. Is we are not to listen to parents just because they are parents over us or stronger than us. Oh, that is quickly outgrown. Why are we to listen to parents? Well, like our catechism says, it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Listening to parents is listening to the Lord, even though parents are imperfect and sinful. Children, when your parents speak to you, when your parents ask you or tell you to do something, it is as if God were directing you. Reverend Vergunst, at the talk I mentioned earlier in the service, made a comment that, yes, we can expect our children to obey. And they are to obey. But we also have to remind them that if parents ever ask them to do something that's against God's word, they are in duty bound to God to not obey, but to seek to further understand and to seek to further see if it is God's will for them, or to have a greater clarity of what is being expected. We can't disobey God, even when our parents tell us to. So that is hearing, that is hearkening. But then there's also the call to not despise. Again, a covenant responsibility. Just as they were to hear, they're also to not despise the blessings that God held out before them. Think of it. God fed the people of Israel with blessed manna. But how quickly they started to loathe, they started to despise that regular diet that God gave them. It was a testimony that I am the covenant Lord. I provide these things. And the people disliked them. The people didn't care for them. Despise not thy mother. She's a blessing. She's one whom the Lord has given for daily nurture and daily care, and also daily godly advice and presence. It's easy to grow resentful. Why are you always looking over my shoulder? Why are you always critical? Despise not my mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. Hear thy father, despise not. Love her. Embrace her. For God has given her as a provision of covenant mercy. But then there also is the reality that the father, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. So you have the beginning of life, and you have the end of life. And the beginning of life is in respect to the father, the head, the covenant head over that family. It's interesting that it's the father who begat. No fathers are able to have children. But the responsibility, the headship, rests upon the father. He is the covenant head. For fathers among us, this is our responsibility. Not just to provide physically for our families, but especially to be the head, the spiritual head of our families. We're not always on the authoritarian, do as I say, or else. We are to be the models We are to be the ones on whom the responsibility lies for how our families go in the spiritual direction. It begins with us. We set the tone. Are you, fathers, a spiritual head in your family, in your marriage, over your children? How can we expect our children to willingly obey us if we are not being the spiritual leaders we need to be? If we're not spiritually in our right place, who really are we? Despise not thy mother when she is old. It would be easy to say, my father has died, my mother is old, she's not able to provide for herself. I don't have to have my father looking over my shoulder to make sure I provide for her. We hope you're well, mother, widow. Leave her to others to care for. Leave her to survive on her own. No. God is the God of the widow. God is the God who would have the mothers, who would have the widows cared for. Don't despise them as a waste of time, as a burden that you have to bear. Our widows among us are important. We pray not just for their immediate families, but for our church family. Despise not thy mother when she is old. When she doesn't have her man to provide for her, and out of honor, out of respect, out of reverence, the children would rise up and serve. Not something that will be enforced by anyone on the earth. The police won't come after you for failing to take care of a widowed mother. But it's a covenant duty, an opportunity to show faithfulness to God. It may not be easy, it may not be something we have a lot of time to do. But out of allegiance to the Lord, out of respect for my mother, I will care for her. So we see the call to uphold the covenant. To hear and to despise not. But also we have the call to be heads, fathers. To care for widows, to care for mothers when they are old. And one line of application here, in upholding the covenant, it's not just on the big things, but it's on the small things. Small decisions, small actions over the course of a week, over the course of a month, determine if we will uphold the covenant or if we'll go our own way. Fathers, it's you and me determining if we will expect to be served by our children, by our wife, or if we'll do the hard work and lay ourselves down. Say, how can we help you? What can I do for you? How was your day? It's not a big thing, but a small thing. But it shows that we will be the spiritual leader in our home by serving and not expect to be served. Children, it's not the big thing. Doing the work when your mom and dad are huffing and puffing. But it's the little things of showing care, showing love, things you don't have to do, things that you're not going to get disciplined or punished if you don't do, but that show you dwell there gratefully, appreciating God who has put you in your families. Upholding the covenant isn't just coming to church. It isn't just sitting still and listening when the Bible is being read. It's a host of small, unknown actions, decisions made every single day by which you or I say, "Yes, Lord, I will live as you want me to." Or, "No, Lord, I will live my own way." A rule for the godly home is to recognize that God is central. So the first rule for the godly home is to live with God at the center. To not push Him out to the boundaries. To live with Him at the very center of our home. The second is to embrace promised salvation. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. This isn't just a guide for commercial transaction. The idea there in the word buy has that rich Old Testament background of redeeming. It has the importance of paying a price for something. Just like there would be those servants who can be redeemed, set free by having a price paid for them. And they can be free men, free women, redeemed, bought back by the truth. Buy it. Let the great promise of salvation, God's provision of redemption, of the price that was set down for His people's deliverance, make that yours. Embrace promised salvation. Notice how it brings it to its very strongest emphasis. Buy it and do not sell it. Make it yours in such a way that you will never get rid of it, that it will never leave you. Embrace it. Don't think that it can be something you have one day, you don't have the next, or you'll go back to it later. It's not the way to guide our lives. Buy it. Make it yours and keep it for good. When are some times that we might think to sell it? When times get difficult. When we wonder what good it does. Oh, it was nice to have when everything was smooth and there were no waves and no storms in our lives. But now that the storm is raging around us, we're going to get rid of it. What good has it done? Buy it and do not sell it. Even when time gets hard. What about when others sell it? When it thinks that the church is selling away its birthright? When the promise of salvation seems, even among the people of God, to be counted as worthless? Buy it. Do not sell it. If everyone else would forsake, if everyone else would sell it, never let us, never let me. Salvation is too good when it's brought with power to our hearts. We see, though all the world forsake, when it's ours, when we have truly bought it, when we truly embrace it,
never let it go.
Perhaps when Satan assaults you, do you really have it? How do you know you bought it? How do you know it's yours? Who are you? Look at other people. They might be able to say they have it, but you? Look at your family. It's a wreck. Look at your marriage. It's on the ropes. It's barely existing. It's barely surviving. Look at your spiritual life. Where is it? You can be led to think he's true. He's right. His promised salvation, what really is it? Buy the truth and sell it not. Don't let the brokenness, don't let the ravages of sin lead you to throw away the great salvation God gives to sinners. And he calls the truth wisdom and instruction and understanding. All of these words are different words for the promised salvation. You can think about man and woman in the garden. They sold it. They sold it for the lie. And yet God gave the promised salvation of the seed of the woman who would come. And he calls his covenant people, he calls families. Embrace it. Let your family unit be a place not just of physical care for each other and shared space in a physical way, but deal in the important matters of the soul. Deal in heart issues. Parents, when we discipline, which we have to do, that's not just discipline in order to modify behavior, to get children to act differently. Let us discipline so that they see their need for the Savior, even for themselves. Children, when you are called to obey, when you are called to dwell with your brother or with your sister, don't just do cursory obedience to get by. But obey because there is a Savior who obeyed perfectly. And by your obedience, you can follow in His footsteps of obedience as well. Embrace promised salvation. And the application here is that this is a daily thing. Not embrace it once upon a time and then live away from it hereafter. But parents need to embrace the promised salvation for themselves every single day. Lord, forgive me for my failures. Lord, use me as a signpost to point my wife, my husband, point my children to the salvation that's in Christ. Children, you need to be embracing promised salvation, not later in your life, but now. Today. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Present tense. That's the beauty of the home. Is this promised salvation satisfied for our shortcomings? It forgives sins. But it also spurs us onward in the way of loving obedience. So that is the second rule, not just to have God at the center, but to have Christ Savior in the homes. Without Him, our homes are mere physical dwellings. But with Him, the promise of salvation is alive and rich and well. We need Christ as Savior. Thirdly, share spiritual joy. The Father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. You can see the emphasis there on rejoicing and on joy. Homes are not places to just grin and bear and to just get by. That's what we often run into, is just the run of the mill. One day to the next, you go to work, you come back. One day to the next, you go to school, you come back. One day to the next, you eat your meals, you go to sleep, and you do it all over again. And joy can just seep right out. Where's joy in our families? Where's joy in our relationships? Where's joy in our deeds and doings toward each other? The Father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. This joy, I would suggest, is internal, Spirit-given joy in the heart of the parents. Father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. It will be like the rising up of the water of joy within them. Won't always show on a happy, smiley face. Always looking as if everything is perfect, everything is in order, but there is a joy, deep-seated, heartfelt joy given by the Spirit when the child is wise. To have that inner joy should be the longing of every parent's heart. Every father, every mother's heart, to have the Spirit witnessing, not just that by God's grace you're a child of God, but that your children walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than that my children walk in the truth. But then this joy also must be shared. Notice how it says it in relationship to the child. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. So it's not just speaking about the father, but it's also speaking to the child, thy father. This joy needs to show itself in our homes, among our families. How can you make your home a pleasant place to be? But to nurture the spiritual graces that God works, to love each other. There's joy in loving, there's joy in being loved. Be peaceful. There's no joy in fighting. There's joy in dwelling together in harmony and peace. Be kind. Think about the other person. There's joy in seeing somebody else furthered along. Not just seeking to be furthered along yourself. Control yourself. There's joy in being controlled, rather than being out of control. The fruit of the Spirit. Manifesting the fruit of the Spirit is a way of sharing spiritual joy in our families. So in conclusion, we have Christ as the perfect Son. Christ is the one who lived at the center, who lived with God at the center. He lived in covenant to his Father perfectly. And he lived in covenant in his home perfectly. What did he do, even from the cross? Did he despise his mother? Say, "Mother, I hope things fare well for you. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. I will provide for you. Care, mother." Even in, from the cross in which he was crucified, Christ upheld the covenant. And because he did so, every believer will do so as well. Christ embraced the truth. He did not tell it. He could have when he was tempted. He could have when he was called to come down from the cross. Bought the truth. He embraced the word that this is how I will live and I will not let it go, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The reason we can be assured when we buy the truth there is salvation because Christ earned it all. He laid down his life, he shed his blood by his people, to redeem his people. If you're here this morning as a father, as a mother, as a child, as a grandparent, you need this Christ. He would buy you, and that you would believe in him, embrace him. The way of life. Doesn't mean everything will go easy or well, but it means that you will be wise. And this joy Christ had, this joy Christ had, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Yes, the Father turned away in wrath from his Son. Why? So that the Father can turn to his children who are in Christ in the way of great delight, in the way of tremendous eternal pleasure, to think that God the Father rejoices over his children. He rejoices over them with singing. He has given his Spirit to cause us to rejoice. The rules for the godly home aren't rules to make home a dreaded place to be, but to make our homes nurseries for the eternal home for all of God's people. Amen. Oh, Father, forgive us for our sins as families, our sins as fathers, not being the heads we should be, sins, mothers, so often despising our callings, our sins as children, so often insisting on our way, refusing the authority that there is in our parents, for our good. Lord, for those who have children who have wandered, who have broken the covenant, who have sold the truth, who so often prevent us from spiritual rejoicing, Lord, be near to them. Grant that they would lay it before thee most of all, that they would seek with their utmost power and strength to draw back children into the way. relying ultimately on Thee. Lord, also we ask for those who have many regrets, who must say they have failed for so long in their life, and wonder what hope there is for any godliness in their marriage or any godliness in their family. Restore the Spirit to them. Grant that they would begin with repentance themselves, and that they would seek to show change, even to their wife, to their spouses, to their children, to all whom they have affected negatively in the past. Lord, give resolution, give change where it is needed. And keep others from being self-righteous, from saying our families are alive, our families are perfect. Lord, may we go often to the fountain where there is cleansing. May we never think ourselves too great, too perfect, that we need not the righteous Savior to forgive our sins and to lead us in the way. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.